Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can't just hear it from behind me. Got to hear it from in front of me too. Amen. God is good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We got to get used to praising God. Glory to God. I'm just going to give you a little preview of what's coming up. Amen. I'm not going to stop encouraging you to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we're just going to keep doing it until you're doing it. So either you're going to get on board and like it, or you're going to stay off board and not like it. Praise God. But you might as well get excited about it, because this is what doors open in our lives. Amen. I'm so thankful for when we're praising God during a service, praise the Lord, we're not praising the pastor. We're not praising what the pastor is saying. We're recognizing that God is good and His word is good. Amen. And so we need to get stirred by this and stir ourselves up, praise the Lord, in these things, because He's got great things for us. Glory to God. If we could only know the fullness of what He has for us. I don't want to be one of those Christians that stand before the Lord in heaven and he say to me, I had all this stuff for you and you never got into it. No, I want to get all that God has for us. Praise God. And I believe that we're going to do that here. At least tonight's part of it, we're going to get it tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight's message is called Trusting Him. Amen. Now, the Lord has been putting it in my heart so much lately about trusting Him. And I know I've said things and I've been preaching a lot about these things, along these lines. And things have just come up out of my spirit about trusting God and trusting God and trusting God. Do you think He's trying to get something over to us? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I didn't purpose this message in the sense that I didn't sit down and say, I'm going to write a message. This message actually came to me earlier in the week. It flowed. It was divine revelation, and I knew it was for Corey. And so we just know that God's got good things for us. Praise the Lord. You say, well, I don't live in Corey. It doesn't matter. Praise God. If you're here right now, if you felt the need to be here, well, praise the Lord. This message will apply to you too. Amen. So it's not just for the people of Corey. It's for whoever's going to listen. So we got some people that maybe are watching on Facebook Live. Praise the Lord for them too. Some people that can't be here, but glory to God. The message is for you too. God wants you to trust Him. Amen. And we're going to see, we're going to get into all that He has for us today. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Trusting God is such an important thing. Of course, I can't stress it enough, and I know that the Lord's been stressing it in me a lot. So I know that it's even more important. It's something that we really need to learn how to do. It's something that, it's easy to say as Christians, it's easy to say a good Christianese or in a Christianese way. You know what I mean by Christianese? Amen. If you live in China, you speak Chinese. Praise the Lord. If you live in Japan, you speak Japanese. Praise the Lord. Well, if you're a Christian, a lot of times for long enough, you'll start speaking Christianese. Amen. And then we'll learn phrases. We were talking about some this week. Be sober minded. Of course, this is scriptural, but these are things that we use. Be sober minded. We got any others that you can think of offhand? Glory to God. I'm believing for this, or I'm believing for that, praise the Lord, or have faith in God, all these things that we talk about. And of course, it's good to remind ourselves of that, but we want to make sure that our faith or our relationship with God or our Christendom, amen, is that a word? Praise the Lord. Yeah, our Christendom isn't just these words that we say, but we believe the words that we say, that the words actually mean something to us. It's so important for us to understand that we don't just say repetitive words. Jesus warned us about this before He said the Lord's Prayer. He said, don't just repeat yourself over and over again. Amen. We need to trust God. We need to learn what trusting God is. Amen. And that's part of learning how to trust God, is learning what trusting God really means. Amen. And I know this, that if I haven't got it, you probably don't either. Praise the Lord. Because we're all going at this together. Amen. We're going in the same direction, the same vein. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Well, let's turn to Luke 10. We're going to start here. And we're going to start verse 41. I was seeing some things in this scripture that I hadn't looked at this way before. So I just... believe this is the direction the Lord to have us go. Praise God. Luke 10, verse 41 and 42. Of course, we know that, this is where the account of where Jesus was, he was in the house of, Mary and Martha, and he was there. And, Martha's running around serving, and Mary's sitting there listening, right? They're sisters. Praise the Lord. And we pick it up here in verse 41. You know, this is right after Martha said to Jesus, said, "Hey, tell her to help me. You know, I'm running around doing all this stuff, and she's just sitting there listening." You know what I mean? She's not helping me out. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We pick up in verse 41, and it says here, "And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her.'" Praise the Lord. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen. I like to look at it this way. Mary has chosen that. Of course, the Bible tells us it's the good part. The good part, what Mary chose to do in that instance was the good part. She chose right, amen? She chose to do what was right. So many people, you know, life is all about choices. Glory to God. Our life, as we walk through, God isn't withholding anything from us. He's not looking for ways to punish us. But life is about choices. And the choices we make are the ones that determine the outcome that we have. Praise the Lord. And we see here that God was addressing, God was addressing Martha, who was doing seemingly a good thing, right? She was running around. She was serving. Praise the Lord. She was doing what she had to do to make sure that, you know, this was out. And wanted to honor the Lord was there and wanted to have everything in order. But you know, how many times you might not know it, but we can get so work-minded that we miss what the good part really is. Now, this is not to encourage you to stop serving, praise the Lord, or to stop helping out, amen, to stop being a blessing. That's not what it is, what we're doing here. But what we're trying to do is to point out that there's sometimes where we need to focus on the thing that matters most, amen. Well, praise the Lord. I know as a pastor, this is something I run into all the time, that I can get so wrapped up in the work of the ministry that I maybe neglect spending time with God. You know, and this really what the scripture is about here, what we see is that Jesus, God in the flesh, was there in front of them. Amen. How many know that when the anointing is in front of you, that means it's time to stop and listen? Glory to God. You know, I've had this before where I've been having conversation with somebody and all of a sudden out of my spirit, there's things start flowing and they get distracted by this or that. You know, whatever. This is sometimes why I hate having dinner with people that we're meeting with, like in a restaurant, because it's, you know, the waitress will come over and interrupt and will interrupt the flow. You know, it's kind of the same thing. You see, what Martha was doing was good, and it's good to have things orderly and tidy and stuff like that. But in the moment, we also have to recognize that there's time when we need to do the better thing. We need to do the better part. Praise God. And when that flow is turned on, and that's what Jesus was trying to point out to her. Not that she was doing wrong, but he did say, actually she was doing wrong. And what I mean by that is this. You notice he says in verse 41, "You are worried and troubled about many things." Worried and troubled about many things. Worried and troubled about many things. When you come to church, do you sit there worried and troubled about many things and miss what's being preached? What's worried and trouble? Well, worried could be you're worried about something going on in your life. Trouble could just be you're upset about something. Trouble could be you're ticked off about something. Or maybe, you know, I can't believe that my brother or sister just said that to me. And then you miss out what God has for you. Or you know, I can't believe what, my husband did or my wife did, praise the Lord, my parents did, whatever, all that thing. And you can sit there and you can miss your appointment with God. Praise the Lord. We're talking about trusting God tonight, I know. But you can miss what God has for you because you're worried and troubled about many things. Praise the Lord. There are so many times where people miss the good part because they're worried and troubled and they don't get into what God has for them. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, people just will jump from one thing to the next. They'll be bothered by, well, listen, there's times where things get busy. I understand that, especially in ministry. If you work in the ministry or you help in the ministry, you understand that there's times where things get busy, but they can take us down the wrong road if we let them. Amen. Because God hasn't called us into to making everything happen. You know, we do this in our lives. We sit there and we try to follow the plan of God, And that's where this is leading into. We try to follow the plan of God for our lives, and there's this that rises, and there's that that arises, and there's all these things, right? There's all these things that come to trouble us. Well, Jesus told us they'd come to trouble us, but what do we do when those things happen? Do we follow God anyways? Do we continue doing what we knew was right? Praise the Lord. The other thing that we can try to do, and I can speak it from a pastor, from a pastoral standpoint, you know, you can go out and you can think, well, praise the Lord, I got this ministry that we're building here. And so what do I got to do to make it happen? I'm worried in trouble. I can get worried in trouble about many things. I'm not saying I am worried in trouble. You understand? I'm not worried. I'm not moved by, I endeavor, I should say, not to be moved by external circumstances. I endeavor to follow God and then trust Him when I'm following Him. Now, I will say this. If you're not following God, then this most of what I'm going to preach tonight doesn't matter to you. Because if you're not following God, you're not going to get God's help. So you got to get first on board with following God. Amen? You can't have the world and God at the same time. It doesn't work that way. Things don't, it's just not going to work. One of them is, and I'll tell you which one will cease. It'll be the God. And I'll tell you why, because God will not override your will. And so if your will is to do what you want to do, then you refuse the will of God, and He won't force it upon you. He will be the one, He will be the lesser, the one that will back down. Amen? I said He will be the one that will back down. I'm helping you here tonight, praise the Lord. And so as we make choices in life, as we go through this life, I don't care if you're, you know, if you're 10 years old or if you're 100 years old, as we make choices, those choices and the outcome of those choices, they matter. It matters for what will happen. So if we want to trust God, we first have to follow God. That's the first thing. Praise the Lord. If you're not following God, you can't trust God. Praise the Lord. You can't confess that God will supply all your needs if you're not following Him. Why? Because He won't. He's nowhere near you. Praise the Lord. If you, you know, God's not far from any of us. You understand. But what my point is, He's not near you, of course, in your mind, in your being. God will stay as far away from you as you force Him to be. Amen? So if you reject God, you reject what He has, which includes His supply, His provision, which includes His health, His protection. It includes all these things. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But we want to be people that trust God. In order to trust God, we have to follow God. This applies to born-again believers. In fact, I could not preach this to anybody but born-again believers. Praise the Lord. Why? Because if you aren't following God, you can't trust Him. And so if you're not a born-again believer, it doesn't matter. In the first thing we got to do is get you saved, and then we can preach this message. So this is not like, oh, some Christians. No, this applies to Christians. This is for those who call themselves in the body of Christ. Amen? Because you can be called into the body of Christ. You can be saved. You can come into that body, that precious, under that precious blood, and still do nothing with it. There's a lot of people that do that. There's a lot of Christians that never produce anything. And the reason they don't produce is not because God doesn't want them to. It's because they deceive themselves, thinking that they can live any way they want and do whatever they want to do. Oh, praise the Lord. So you must follow God in order to trust God. I have met many Christians who do not trust God. How do I know? Because they're not following Him. I said I've met many Christians who do not trust God because they're not following Him. Amen? I've met Christians that say, this book is outdated. There's Christians that have said that. Or people that call themselves Christians. You have to really question whether they are or not. But, this book is, or it doesn't all apply to all these different things. Those are people that aren't following God, and therefore they're not people that are trusting God. Amen? But we want to be people that trust God. We need to be people that follow God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, 1 Corinthians 3:6, praise God, hallelujah. I love this scripture because this is exactly what he's pointing out here. Paul said to the Corinthians, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. See, so often we're trying to make things happen. We're trying to make it happen. We're trying to make the ministry happen. We're trying to make our lives happen. Jesus said, don't worry about your life. Right. Praise God. I circled this. My wife was talking about this real quick, just keep your place there, Matthew 6, Matthew 6:25. Praise the Lord. You know, some revelation, and this just came to me just a little bit, one of those nuggets God gives you just during announcements, amen? See, it matters how you come to church, right? If you come ready to receive, you can receive in announcements. Some people will show up after the announcements thinking that they, I'm telling you the truth, but they miss God, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? I wrote this in my Bible. Is not life more than stuff? Yeah. Is life not more than your job? Praise the Lord. Is your life more than your job? Is your life more than your friends? Is your life more than, is it more than the thing that you're going to do this week? Is it more than your summer vacation? Is it more than Christmas 2019? Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's more than my birthday even. Praise God. Hallelujah. Life is more than these things. That's not life. Those are parts of life, but life is more than those things. So if any one of those things are not up to what we consider par, we'll sit there sometimes as humans, because this is what we do, is we sit there and pull and tug at it and try to make it be something else. You got to be. We pull it. Got to be something else. But God's the one who brings the increase. Go ahead and go back to 1 Corinthians. Praise the Lord. God brings the increase. 1 Corinthians 3:6. Praise the Lord. God gives the increase. Yeah. We are trying to make the increase happen, and God is the one who is the giver of that. Yeah. So what can we say about this? We can say that if you follow God, then you can trust Him for the increase. Yeah. And if you follow God and you're pulling at the thing trying to make it increase, guess what? You're not trusting God. See, when we're trying to make it happen, what's trusting God? Trusting God is saying, you know what? My God shall supply all my... Again, I follow God so I can claim this, right? I do the best of my knowledge. I do what God has called me to do to the best of my knowledge and my ability, right? So I can claim Philippians 4:19 that my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So what does this mean? It means that I need to trust Him on it. So when it doesn't look like it, what do I need to do? Trust God. Why do I trust God? Because I follow God. I can't trust God if I'm not following God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting this. It's because part of this is not just for you. I believe we have a group of people here who probably to the best of your ability is following God. But you're going to see sometimes, you're going to see other Christians' lives, or other Christians will present scenarios before you, and you need to know how to answer those things. Praise the Lord. They'll say, well, what about this or that person? And I remember there's been times in my life where I've been tripped up over what happened to someone else. Well, that person, they were so faithful, and look what happened to them. How could I trust God if that? I mean, they're way more spiritual than I was or than I am. And yet, how can I follow them? How can I trust that God's going to, or not follow them, how can I trust God that God's going to come through for me? Because if I follow God, He promises to come through for me. Amen. Listen, if there's a failure, it is never on God's part. So if there's a failure in someone's life, somebody missed it somewhere. Amen? Glory to God. It doesn't mean that God missed, but we can trust God for ourselves if we'll follow Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. And we can believe Him for the increase. I believe God for the increase. What is the increase? Well, whatever you do. Whatever you're laboring for, amen? Are you laboring for finances? Then I guess increase would be in your finances. Are you laboring for a better house? And I guess increase would be there. Are you laboring for the ministry? Well, I guess increase would be in more people and people that get saved, and not just people that get saved, but people who get saved and that get faithful. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Are you laboring for a greater anointing? Praise God. You know, there is labor, a part of labor that we have to do. We have to do the work. But the Bible says that the labor should be light and easy. Why is that light and easy? Because you don't trust God. See, it's all about what we think. It's all about where we have our mindset. Why? Because God's already promised and did everything He was going to do. God isn't withholding. The Bible says He withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. God is not withholding from you. Praise God. God is not withholding from you. He's not saying, what can I keep from? He's just looking for you to trust Him. He's like, trust me so I can release it to you. I'm not withholding it. I'm not keeping it back from you. You're keeping it back from you because you're not trusting Him. Why? Because these things are only accessed through trust. Trust is the open door. Trust is the key. Trust is the way in. Amen. Glory to God. We have a lock on the front of our house, a front door lock. Amen. And it doesn't even have a key thing anymore. It's got a bunch of numbers that you push. If you don't have those numbers, you can't get in. Praise the Lord. If you come up to those doors and you have the door and you have those numbers, if you don't press them, you don't get in. Well, it's the same thing with God. There is a way in and there is a way out. Praise the Lord. Most people stay in the place of the way out. Even some of those being Christians. Actually, I would dare say that probably in our society today, the majority of Christians lean more on the side of staying out of the blessing of God than they do on the inside. And it's all because they haven't got this thing called trust. They may be following God, but they're not trusting God. See, there's people that come to church every... I've seen this. There's people... You know, you'll see it too. All you got to do is get on Facebook and... get a Christian friend on Facebook and you'll see a whole bunch of people that don't trust God. You know what I mean? They'll start freaking out. They, you know, freak out. Listen, every one of us is entitled to a little bit of a freak out once in a while. You know what I mean? Like, we're all going to do it is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's in God's highest and best that we do it, but I'm just saying that if you freak out a little bit when something happens, that's fine. But get it fixed. You know what I mean? Like, you have your freak out moment. Okay. You know, you strengthen yourself, you pull yourself together, now let's get into faith. Amen? So don't feel bad if you have a freak out moment. If you're living according to freak out, then you got a problem. Amen? We don't live according to freak out. Amen? We live according to faith, because the just shall live by freak out. No, by faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. We want what God has for us. We will not get it if we do it, if we're constantly freaking out. Praise the Lord. If we're constantly just, you know, scared and just don't know, that's not trusting God. Trusting God is the key into the things of God. Why? Because trusting God is faith. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn to me to John 6. Praise the Lord. He is good. Amen. He's been good to me. It gets better and better every day. Praise the Lord. Some people get upset about growing older. I get excited. I'm not joking. Somebody said, "Hey, Jeff, you look like you're getting old." I'm like, "Yeah, praise the Lord. I'm getting there." Amen. Glory. I didn't think I was going to get old. I thought I was going to stop somewhere around 35. I think I had the devil tell me that once, and I believed it for many years that I was going to die by the time I was 35. I never expected to get old. I always thought that there, you know, death was right around the corner. Praise the Lord. So if somebody says, "Hey, you're getting old," hey man, that means I'm making it. Hallelujah. That means kicking the devil in the pants. I'm just going on to be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You don't want to stay young. Amen. Some people try. You ever notice how terrible they look when they try? Praise God. Hallelujah. I have not seen one person who has done cosmetic surgery for the sake of trying to look younger that has ever looked good. It always looks terrible. I wish somebody would tell them, "Listen, you're spending a lot of money to look terrible. Listen, you can look less bad. Just give me your money." You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Just stay the way you are. You look less bad than you know. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, you know, there's times where people have to get cosmetic surgery, maybe an injury or something like that. That's what it should be for. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We need to keep everything just the way God gave it to us. Amen. Well, I think that's good anyways. Amen. John 6:22. We're going to read through verse 36. Praise the Lord. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea. Now, this is just in context. This is right after Jesus fed the multitude. Amen. And you see, in my old religious thinking, I always want to go back and say the 5,000, but we know that it's not that because it's more than that, right? Praise the Lord. But after he fed the multitude, this is the following day from that, amen? And on the following day, when the people were who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Praise the Lord. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. That's pretty interesting. Jesus knew what they were doing. Hey man, this man fed us. Glory to God. You ever given a stray dog food? Yeah. Stray cat food? What will they do? They come back. Why? Because you fed them. Do they love you? Well, maybe not yet, but they just want more of what you gave them. Amen. They weren't seeking God. And Jesus was kind of calling them on it. Well, praise the Lord. He's saying, you weren't seeking me. You're just here because you were filled. You come back because you're hungry. Not hungry in the good way either. Look at this, what he says though. Do not labor for the food which perishes. Oh, this is awesome. I don't know if you got this. He said, do not labor for food that perishes. This isn't metaphor. This isn't some kind of crazy idea. He's like, get your priorities straight. Listen, if you're going to seek God, don't seek God because of what he can give you. He'll give you stuff anyways. That's the wrong reason to seek God. God will take care of you. This is where trusting God comes in. He will take care of you anyhow. He's going to take, don't seek him for those reasons. Those reasons are not good reasons. Seek God because he's God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. So by that statement, we should all quit our jobs, right? Praise God, because Jesus said, just believe God. No, that's not what he's saying either. We got to keep it in balance. Amen. We do have to do things in life to earn something. Amen. I love that I had, we talk about this all the time. We don't teach our kids that you just, listen, there's a lot of things we could give our kids and we don't. Why? Because we're allowing our kids to experience some life on their own. Amen. In fact, sometimes I think maybe I've spoiled them too much. You know, and we do need to be careful as parents. We don't want to just, because why? Because they're just going to get used to it, and it means nothing to them. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Which the Son of Man will give you, everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Praise the Lord. It is not enough to believe in Jesus. We must trust in him with a full and absolute assurance. Praise the Lord. He said, this is the work of God. Listen to this. This is the work of God. All you people, you're sitting here, and I know that you're all hungering for more of God, and you're sitting there saying, what's the work of God? And he said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Believing in him is not just believing that he exists. It is absolute trust in God. Absolute trust. That's the work of God. Why? Because when you trust God, it makes it easy to follow God. It makes it easy to follow his spirit. Now, I know I said you can't trust him without following him. But I mean, first you have to be seeking after him, following him in that way. Praise the Lord. But then once you trust him, there's still continually a follow that follows up. Amen. We have to follow up with following Jesus. Amen. Just coming to the Lord. Like, this is what a lot of people do. Praise the Lord. Mark, come up here. A lot of people come up and say, Mark is Jesus. Hallelujah. A lot of people come up to him. They come into his presence. They come up to him. You know, they're there. Praise the Lord. And this is where they stay. And Jesus always said, follow, you can go ahead and sit back down. Praise the Lord. I don't know why I had you come up, but it was just easier to use another person, I guess. Jesus always said, follow me. Because Jesus didn't stay put, did he? Jesus didn't stay in one place. Jesus didn't just sit in a church. They all came to him. He could have done that. Jesus could have done one church and then everyone come in, do the miracles on them. He didn't have to move around. What did Jesus do? He went out into the world. What did he command us to do? Go out into the world. There's a work that comes with following God. But you have to trust God. So it's follow, trust, follow is really what it is. Amen. You follow God. You come after God. Then you trust him. And then you continue to follow him. Amen. You go out into the world and do those works that he has for you. Trust is your willingness to follow him completely. That's what believing in God is. When he says the work of God is to believe in him, it's the willingness to follow him completely. What's following him completely? If he says to do it, I'll do it. If the word says to do it, I'll do it. If the Lord leads me in this direction, I'm going to go in this direction. If he leads me in that direction, then that's the direction I'll go in. I will go wherever you have me go. You know, we sing a song that sounds something like that. You know, I'll go wherever you send me. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. Therefore, they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." Praise the Lord. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Praise the Lord. That word, the word comes to, it means to be established. Established is, I actually was led to look up this word in the dictionary, established. You know, just because sometimes you, God will take you down this road. Like I was led to look up the come to me, and then I was led to look up one of the words in what the answer to that was. And it was real interesting, I thought. Established of a plant taken that's taken root and growing well. That's what being established is. So when he says, "Come to me," what he's saying is I wrote this down. Praise the Lord. We could say it like this: I am the bread of life. He who is established like a plant that has taken root and growing well, praise the Lord, in me shall never hunger. That person shall never hunger. That one who is established in Christ. That one who is rooted well. You know what a rooted... I use this example all the time because I used to do landscaping. And so I understand a little bit about plants. The one thing I learned about plants, you can go to the nursery, you can find any plant. They're in, you know, they have them in these, you know, they all have them in these little like plastic pots kind of or whatever. But one of the things that we all know or that I learned about plants is you can't just really dig a hole in the ground, stick them in, and that they all do well. In fact, a lot of plants, they really need a lot of care after that initial planting. This is why I don't like to plant plants in the middle of July. Because they need a certain amount of water and stuff like that. And they take kind of a harder hit. And a lot of times they won't survive as well because of that. You know, but they have to have the right soil and everything. But once a plant is rooted, man, things can happen around that. You can have winter happen around that. You can have all kinds of, you can have a drought even, and the plant still does well. Why? Because it's rooted well. But those plants that are, where the roots are balled up, in fact, sometimes they even tell you that you're supposed to break up the outer roots a little bit, not break them off, but loosen them up so they start growing, amen? And you don't want to put it into rocky soil because it won't, because those rocks won't allow the roots to get their nutrients. It's not a well-rooted plant, that case. Amen? And that's exactly what Jesus is saying, is we need to be well-rooted in him. Yeah. But he says, if you are well-rooted in him, if you're established in him, you shall never hunger, right. And you, those who trust in him shall never thirst. Right. In other words, they'll never go without. See, what God was doing, when God sent the manna from heaven, this wasn't God's only way. This was just an example of God's provision. He was showing the Israelites, and he was showing us by showing them this, that it doesn't matter what's going on in life. It doesn't matter where I send you. I could send you out to the wilderness where there's nothing, and I'll still provide for you because I'm God. And that's what I promised to do. These things were written for our admonition. These things were written for our understanding so we could trust God, because then we understand, wait a minute, if the Israelites could go wander around in the wilderness and God would feed them in the morning just by the dew on the ground, or Elijah could go out into the wilderness and God would send ravens to send him food in, praise the Lord. See, people get hung up sometimes on the specific miracles or the specific things, and they don't realize that it just points back to who God is and what He'll do. This is why we got to trust God. And it's a shame. It's so weird that Christians don't just learn to trust God. I mean, at some point, we got to just trust God. We just got to, but listen, if we've been a Christian for 5, 10 years, especially in a church like this, we need to get to a point where we're just trusting God. That, like, you know what? Okay, stuff happens out there. Sometimes I'm not going to like it, but it ain't moving me because I trust God. Because He always supplies. He gave them manna, and I'm blood-bought, born again by His Son. Praise the Lord who paid for everything for me. So I've got even a leg up on them, amen. So if He gave them manna, He's surely going to give me more. And I'm just going to tell you right now that I've never had to eat bland manna. I don't eat bland. Praise the Lord. Why don't I eat bland? Because God takes care of me much better than that. Why? Because He gave me His Son. And He promised something through giving me His Son. And guess what? He's promised the same thing for you. So if you're a Christian who's living less subpar, you know, if you're living below standard, that's not God's fault. God will take you out of it if you'll trust Him. But in order to trust Him, you're going to have to follow Him. And if you follow Him, guess what He's going to require you to do? He's going to tell you to do things sometimes that you might not like to do. He's going to challenge your flesh sometimes by having you step out in an area that maybe you have never stepped out in, or maybe an area that you don't want to step out in. The Christians who say, God, I'll go wherever You have me to go, because it says it in Your Word, and You told me in Your Spirit, in my spirit, those Christians are the ones that are always supplied for. We don't ever go without. Amen. We're in some financial situations now, right now, that sometimes, I mean, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever, would have rocked me. I'm just telling you the truth. It would have scared me. But it doesn't scare me today. Why? Because God supplies. He takes care of everything. He's proven it time and time again. You ever have those moments? You start with the little things. And if you could trust Him on a little thing, okay, this little thing happened. Well, then I can believe Him for another thing. You know what I mean? I can actually believe Him and stay in faith and not cry every time stuff. Listen, we all have down days. We all have times where, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying we should all have down days, but I'm saying we all go through periods of time where maybe we're not as spiritual as we ought to be, or as we want to be, or whatever, you know what I mean? But the truth, the thing is that we need to be able to pick ourselves up and turn this thing around. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So going on, but I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Praise the Lord. So Jesus isn't rejecting any of us, is He? He's not pushing any of us away, is He? He's not withholding from anyone. He said, the one who comes to me, guess what? Remember, we went through that comes to me? That one who is willing to be established in me? That one who is willing to be planted in me and to follow me and to do what I call him to do? Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's the one that comes to him. It's not just the one that comes up to him and says, Jesus, save me. Right. How many times do Christians pray to God? They sit there and they say, Lord, Lord, I need this to happen. Lord, I need this to happen. Lord, I need this to happen. And they never get the answer. They didn't come to God. They did the same thing that those other people did. They just came because they heard that there's a God who will do miracles once in a while. They didn't trust Him. They didn't come to Him and say, Lord. See, when you come to God from a place of trust, when you come to God, say, Lord, You and I have covenant. You and I, we have something here. We have an agreement here. We have a blood paid for, a blood bought connection that can't be severed by anything. And Lord, because of that, You promised certain things in Your Word. And so I come to You now, and this is a need that's happening in my life. Lord, I know that You supply my need. That's trusting God. Lord, I know that You'll take care of it. No, Lord, if it be Your will, heal me of this sickness. No, that's a bunch of garbage. That's religious hokey pokey. It's not real. It's not good. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's where a lot of people stay. Yeah. A lot of Christians are so... You know what a lot of Christians are? They're superstitious. Yeah. Yeah. That's what a lot of Christians are. They think, oh, I did a bad thing today, so God's going to remove something from me. God doesn't work like that. No. Listen... There's been a lot of times where I've done a lot of bad things and God still blessed me. You know why? Because he's my heavenly Father and he loves me. He is not trying to look. Now listen, if you live in sin, God will judge it. That will happen. But if you're a Christian who is not actively trying to live in sin and you're out there just trying to go through life and you make a mistake here and you make a mistake there, God will forgive it. He'll erase it. He won't even look at it. He will let you, praise the Lord, go on and he will still bless you. Why? Because he loves us. Wouldn't you do the same for your children? Praise the Lord. If your child was going along and they're doing real good and all of a sudden they messed up, praise the Lord. Would you just kick them? You know, praise the Lord. Josh and Rachel back there. Sophia. How old is Sophia now? 2.5. 2.5. Does she ever make mistakes? Praise the Lord. She know what no means? Yeah, she knows what no means. Does sometimes she not listen to the no and do what she wants to do anyways? Do you stop feeding her because she does that? Do you take away her winter coat? It's January out. You say, hey, you didn't listen to me today. You don't get your winter coat. Actually, you know what? You don't even get your house anymore. Get out there in the snow. When I want to, I'll let you back in there. Would you do that? I didn't think you would. Praise the Lord. Wouldn't be an usher if you did. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. See, it's foolishness, but people are superstitious about God. They don't look at God as their heavenly Father. Think about how you would treat your children. Even if you don't have children, you wouldn't do that to them. You know you wouldn't do that to them. So if you wouldn't do that to a dog. Amen? You wouldn't do that to a cat. You wouldn't do something that's less. Why do you think that God would take the most precious, his most precious creation, the thing that he adores the most, so much so that he would not withhold his son for? Right. And yeah, God's going to withhold from you? God's not going to come through for you? You just got to trust him. That's what the requirement is. Why don't people see stuff? Because they don't trust God. Because they look at him as this, you know what I mean? And what it really is Christians are listening to the devil more than they're listening to God. Because it's the devil that's whispering in your ear, oh, you screwed up big this time. You went too far this time. There's no too far. Praise the Lord. You can't go too far with God if your heart's right. You understand what I'm saying? Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. God wants to help us. That's why he gave us his son. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. I got so much to go. Praise God. Hallelujah. John 16:24. Jesus said this. He says, praise the Lord. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. He goes, ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. He said, until now you haven't asked for anything in my name. But now he says, ask that your joy may be full. Listen, when we go through life and our focus isn't just on getting out of whatever trouble we're in. See, if your focus is that, listen, I can't say this enough. If your focus is on the current trouble that you're in, you don't trust God. Wow. Why? Because your focus is in the wrong area. Because if you trusted God, listen, when I take my daughter, if we go out, if we're going to cross the street, when she goes by herself, she looks both ways. We've taught her well. Praise the Lord. But if she's going with me, she's got my hand, and we're crossing a street, she doesn't look both ways. She doesn't care. Why? Because she trusts me. She's like, if he's going, I might as well go too. There could be a bus coming, but she ain't going to care because she thinks dad's going, right? See, this is how we got to be about God. If I'm following God, if I got his hand, and he's crossing the street, doesn't matter what's coming. Doesn't matter what it looks like. All that matters is that I go across the street with my Father. Amen? See, if we're focused on the trial, we're focused in the wrong area. We don't trust God. Now listen, people who are somewhat following God can be in that place quite a bit. There's still times in my own life where all of a sudden something will happen and the first inkling is to freak out. The first inkling is to like, oh no, what are we going to do? How are we going to get past this? How are we going to defeat this one? How are we going to get over this mountain? Praise the Lord. You know, the devil tells me just about every single day that both the churches are about to close. There's no evidence to that, but you know the devil will tell me that. Of course, that thought comes in and it wants to plant, it wants to take root. And see, if that becomes the thing that I allow rooted in my life, then that becomes my reality. But I, you know what I look at now? Well, if that happens, oh well. I'm not the one who causes the increase. I'm doing what I know to do, the best I know how to do it. If that ain't good enough, oh well. Praise the Lord. God put me here knowing who I was. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my failures. He knows what I can and can't do. He didn't put me here according to my ability. He put me here because I was foolish. Yeah. You say, well, what do you mean? Yeah, he put me here because I was foolish. Because he says he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He didn't need me to be smart. He didn't need me. All he needed me to do was be willing. All he needs you to do is be willing. Take his hand, go across the street. Stop questioning him. Stop being like, oh, what do we do? Where are we going to go? What's going to happen? You know, this is how Christians are. What are we going to do? I'll tell you what you're going to do. Praise the Lord. You're going to be a man. Just like the Godfather said. Don't watch that movie, but just, praise the Lord. He slapped him, you know, and he come in and he's crying. And the Godfather, he just couldn't have it anymore. And he shook him and he said, slapped him in the face. He said, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to be a man. Be a man. And I don't mean if you're a woman, be a man. I mean be a, what God made you to be, a human. Be a real human, a God kind of human. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do what God has made us to do. Listen, you ain't got to cry about it all day. If you have a few minutes of a sniffle, that's fine. But if you have all day of a sniffle, there's a problem. Get back in the Word. Start reading the Word. Start listening to this message again. Praise the Lord, because it's not a big deal. Listen, how many troubles have you had? Has anyone had troubles, good troubles? I mean, really good troubles in the past year. Raise your hand if you have. I mean, seriously. Anybody had good troubles? Okay, so most everybody here has had good troubles. Praise the Lord. In the past year. You know what I mean by good troubles? I mean something that tried to rock you, right? Yeah. But guess what? You're here today. Yeah. You made it this far. The devil didn't take you out. You didn't lose. You didn't stop going, right? That's got to tell you something. If he did it once, he'll do it again. He got you to this point. Praise the Lord. I assure you that within the last 2 years, at some point you thought it's all over. It's all over. Did you have that thought come to you? Well, is it all over? You're still here. You're still here. How do I know? Because I can see you. You're still here. And I know that you went through troubles because I've gone through troubles. But guess what? We're still here. We're still kicking. We're still going. Why? Because that's what God has made us to be. So if he's done it this far through this much mess, then he's probably going to do it a little bit further. Praise the Lord. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. If God has made it this far with humanity, he probably ain't going to stop. If he's made it through all this garbage, he's probably going to keep going. Especially if somebody still wants him. Praise the Lord. If someone still seeks him. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, and I know that I exaggerate those things and make light of our trials and our tribulation. But what I'm pointing out is the foolishness of it really. We all go through it. I go through it too. I am not exempt from this. It's easy to preach these things under the anointing. I know it's not always easy to feel these things, but that's why the Bible says to stir ourselves up, that we stir ourselves up. Nobody will stir you up. Listen, I have watched Christians who were well able fail because one thing, they refused to stir themselves. That's it. Like, you don't have to bring the increase. All you have to do is stir yourself. Just stir yourself. Well, I don't want to just stir it a little bit. I don't want to just stir it a little bit. You ain't got to worry about how it works. I don't need to know how it works because I don't bring the increase. God does. God always brings the increase. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So when you ask, when he's saying ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full. What he's saying is ask from this place of trust. There's lots of people that are asking God and not receiving anything. And the reason they're receiving nothing is because they're not asking God, trusting him. They're asking him in some kind of cowardly hope that maybe it will happen, maybe it won't, but I'm going to throw a dart and try this out. Amen? I've actually had family members do this to me. They come to me in a time of great need. They'll reject God, reject God, reject God. And then they come to me and something's falling apart and they'll say, hey, it's like, hey, can we pray about this? You know, can we do something about this? And a lot of times, what I've noticed is nothing happens. And I remember I used to get bothered by it, like, Lord, why did nothing happen? And what the Lord showed me is because they weren't seeking after him. They were just seeking what they could. They were doing the same thing. They were seeking bread to be full. Yeah. They didn't care, because what would happen is God would do that to them. Praise the Lord. I'm going to give you, oh, glory to God. How can I say this, Lord? I have prayed over sickness that ended up in death. And I prayed in faith. And I wondered, how did this end in death? And the reason that it ended in death is because that person would have never changed. I know it. Because as soon as that sickness was over, they would have returned. Now, praise God, they were saved. But as soon as that sickness was over, they would have returned right back to that same stuff. Why? Because that's what mattered to them. That's what mattered to them. And so sometimes there's things in people's, I'm saying people, not us, in other people's lives that you can pray for that you won't see a specific fruit from, because they don't even care. They don't want God. They want nothing. Sometimes God will allow a person to go through hell just so at the end of it they'll find him. And we have to be okay with that. Sometimes we have to, parents, we have to, I'm telling you, this. I've been up against this before. The thought has come to me, when I release my children into the world, what will I face? What will they face? Will they stay? I have to trust the word. And I have to be okay that there's been enough put in them that they'll go out there and they'll make the right decisions. Now, if they don't make the right decisions, then they'll fail enough and eventually believe they'll come back. But sometimes that's the thing that people have to do. Listen, sometimes kids, because kids will, especially kids, they'll make stupid decisions because kids think like morons. They do. Well, why do kids think like morons? I was a kid. I remember thinking like a moron. Listen, if I did half the stuff if I was able to do half the stuff that I thought of when I was 16 years old, I'd be dead and all you'd be dead with me, praise the Lord, because I just thought stupidly. I thought, oh, this is the most important thing in the world, and what did it do? All it did was destroy lives. See, because kids don't think about, again, they don't think about the end from the beginning. That's why sometimes adults have a harder time trusting God. You know, Jesus said to come to him as a child. A child will take your hand and go across the street. But now, see, if I went and grabbed John and said, hey, John, we're going to go across the street, take my hand. Well, first of all, that'd be weird. He might question that. But if he got past that, took my hand, we started crossing the street, he's like, Pastor, but there's a bus coming. I said, trust me. He's like, but Pastor, there's a bus coming. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference there. Why? Because there's a little bit of wisdom imparted. And wisdom isn't a bad thing, but trusting God is most important. And so we trust God and we use wisdom. Amen. We can use wisdom and we trust God, however you want to say it. God isn't going to, you know, God will tell you things, though, sometimes that won't seem like it's wisdom. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So how do we know? It's Mark 11:22. Originally, I wasn't going to have the scripture in there. I put it in this afternoon because it seemed right. Praise God. Mark 11:22. For surely I say to you, no. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Trust God. What is have faith in God? Trust God. Why does he say this? It's so important. Before he tells them, what Jesus was dealing with, glory to God, hallelujah. I know exactly what's going to happen. This is going to be a 2-week message. Praise the Lord. So we're going to have trust God part 2 next week, amen? So I know exactly what God, what Jesus was doing. You know what this all came about? Because they had walked by the fig, they went up to the fig tree to get provision. There was no provision. And so what did Jesus do? He cursed the thing that caused the lack of provision. He cursed it to die. The disciples took note of that, but they didn't think of that. So they walk, they go on, they do the thing they're going to do the next day or a couple days later or whatever, they're coming back by and they see this fig tree again and they're looking at it and they're saying, wait a minute, you cursed that fig tree and now it's dead. And what does he say? Have faith in God. Trust God. Trust God. What is Jesus doing? Jesus knew that God would back up his words, that the desires of his heart would come to pass. What was the desire of Jesus' heart in that moment? To kill that stinking fig tree. He just, no, to eradicate the lack. Yeah. He's saying it's not, no, not only are you not going to give me lack, but you'll never give anybody lack. Praise the Lord. See, Jesus dealt with the source of the lack. Praise the Lord. That's what we need to do. See, a lot of people think, and this is why it's so dangerous when people think that God is up there just pulling strings and levers and pushing buttons, because what they're thinking is that if this is God, well, then this is what he wants me to have. This is my lot in life. And then they're never addressing the problem. And that's why they're never having from God, because there's no faith in that. There's no trust. But his first response to the disciples when they said that about the fig tree was, trust God, have faith in God. It's the same thing, right? Does anyone argue with that? Verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. That's a pretty bold statement. He will have, she will have whatever if they trust. But you can't trust if you're not following. Praise the Lord. And you, well, praise God. Hallelujah. Whatever he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, and that word ask is also the word desire. And I think in the King James it says desire. Whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. What is believing that you receive them? Boy, your prayer would sound a lot different, wouldn't it? See, because you know how it is. Is there anyone here who doesn't know how it is to go to God in prayer, not knowing if it's going to be answered? We've all been there, right? Not since you've been in this church, praise the Lord. But you know that you've been there. And you know how that feels. You go down like, Lord, and you're just thinking, you first, even before you get to your knees, the first thing you're thinking is, what reasons can I come up with why I need this? Wow. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You sit there, you're thinking, man, what reasons can I come up with to convince God? How can I be convincing enough to God that when I get down, I got it, maybe if I cry. So I get down and I start crying, Lord, I need this. You know I need this. I need this. I want this. Blah, 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 whatever. That's not a place of faith. And so we see that takes you out of that place of trust in God, and that's why that people never receive. That's what it means to believe. When he says there, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask or desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Believe, and then you will. What happens? How does a prayer look when you believe that you receive it? It's the same way that when my daughter walks up to me and she's hungry for lunch. Hey, Dad, it's lunchtime. Why am I not eating? She doesn't say this, but you know what I mean? That's kind of the attitude that she has there. I'm hungry. Why am I not eating? It's time for lunch. In fact, these kids don't know what it's like to starve. These kids don't know what it's like to go without. None of these kids do. No, most kids in America don't know what it's really like. There are kids that do, but I'm saying overall that there's always some kind of provision. You know what I'm saying? These kids, they just know it. That's how they come. It's the same way we're supposed to go to God. All right, Lord, this is the moment. See, this is why prayers will be so much different, because you won't waste your time. Now, I've said a lot recently, like things like, we're not supposed to pray for our own stuff or sit there, dwelling on our own stuff. That's true. I hold to that wholeheartedly. I think that is I think that's what the Word of God teaches us, that we don't sit there just going, oh, but what? Because that's not a place of belief. But when it doesn't mean you can never ask God for anything. Well, I'm not saying that, because the Bible clearly tells us to ask him for things. I'm not saying that you can't ever ask him. I'm saying that we don't sit there, oh, I hope, Lord, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want. You know, the last vehicle that I got, I wasn't even planning on getting it. I'll just tell you the truth. I'm just going to give you a little snippet of how it happened. About a month and a half ago, 2 months ago maybe, it was the furthest thing in my mind, because we also make decisions according to wisdom. We don't get into things that we can't afford, praise the Lord, because we just don't live that way. You know what I mean? Unless the Lord specifically directs us, we don't live beyond our means. We budget, we do all these things. Why? Because that's if you want to be blessed, then that's what you got to do, period. But anyways, I saw something I liked, and it really stirred something on the inside of me. And I went to my Heavenly Father. I said, Lord, I would love to have one of those. That's all I said. I left it at that. That's all I said. Yeah. Within like a month, I had that very thing. And every bit of what blessed me. Why? Because that's how God works. Because when you, because I asked, I went to him, I asked him from the standpoint of knowing that God wants to bless me and just said, Lord, this is the thing I want. It's no different than my mom comes to me and she'll say, Jeff, your birthday's coming up. My mom and my wife will remind me of my birthday coming up. Generally, I mean, I get really excited for the 3 days around it, but generally I'm not looking to it a month ahead of time going, oh, my birthday's in a month, my birthday's in a month. No, but people come up to me, hey, your birthday's coming up. What do you want? What, you know, what would you like this year? Or your Christmas is coming up. What would you like this year? You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. It's the same thing. God wants us to tell him when we like, you know what I mean? He likes, it blesses God when you look, you can look at him and say, Lord, I know that you like to take care of things. So just because of that, this is something that I really would like. When you're doing the work of the God, he withholds no good thing. Now, there will be periods of time sometimes where we go with less or we go without because God is teaching us something. There are those periods of time. But see, a lot of times Christians go without because they never ever entered into that realm of faith. Yeah. Entering into that realm of faith is trusting God, saying, Lord, I trust you with everything. I'll follow you. And I'm going to tell you this. You can get bold because I've even gotten bold. Lord, I serve you. My family serves you with our whole heart. Praise the Lord. Does your family serve with your whole heart? You know it. You know if you're withholding from God. So I'm just telling you, if you're a person who serves God with your whole heart, the best that you know, then you go to God and you say, Lord, like, these are things that that we need. Yeah. We need these things in our lives. These things that bless us, we need these things in our lives. Why? Because the children of God are going to run around like poverty-stricken without anything. They're going to run around with never being able to pay their bills or meet their needs. That's the way the children of God are going to look. I'll tell you what, because if my children were running around like that, the whole world would judge what my children, they would judge me by that. You don't think they're judging God by that? They absolutely are. That's why it's not, this isn't just that we have to live in it's good that we live in the blessing of God. It is a necessity that we live in the blessing of God. It is a necessity that we live in the fullness of God, but you will not do it if you don't trust Him. You will not do it if you don't come at it from a place of faith. Praise the Lord. These are things that we just need to understand. Trusting God is imperative. And trusting God in this town is imperative. Listen, we might be a small fish in a big bucket, but I'm going to tell you right now that what God is doing here is a great thing. So don't be afraid to ask Him. Don't be afraid to put it out there, but focus on what He has for us to do. Focus on where He has us going, and all these things will be added to us. Amen. I'm going to close there. Praise the Lord, because I think that's a good hopping off point. Praise the Lord. But next week, unless the Lord changes it, we will finish this message. I got a whole nother half, praise the Lord. And I'm excited to get into it and the rest of what God has for us. But even if He doesn't, then He's got something better for us and we'll just go with that. But I believe that's what we'll do from now. But praise the Lord.